You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoof It. Head. And Hotbox.
Hey, welcome back for another episode of The Training Dummies. This is episode 8, recorded on August 16th, 2012. I'm Taylor. I play a druid tank named Hoof It. Joining me tonight is Rob the DPS DK, Hotpox, and back from vacation and housing is Daryl, our resident resto shaman. This episode, we're going to discuss professions and why you should not neglect them. Before we get started, though, let's Hotpox. What have you been doing in and out of the game of the World of Warcraft?
When you said my name just a second ago, the only first thing I could think of was, "What you gonna pick, Hotpox?" And that was the case for our raid team tonight. So I had to go and grab Hotpox off the shelf and bring him in because I've been bringing alts lately. So. Our main tank disappeared, he disconnected, and I had to go grab Hotpox and bring him in to save the day, so that was good. It was good fun stuff there. Gotta remember how to tank with him.
Power outages fun. For the lose.
Yeah, serious. And you could tell we're getting to the end of the expansion, man, because even bringing pugs into normal mode is rough, man. This guy that we had in here tonight was a treat. Boy, I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah. So, loads of fun.
But it's been going pretty good. I've been working. Got through some car difficulties there, so kind of got everything back on track. So it's been fun. Hind, how you been doing? I know you finally got back from your epic vacation.
Yeah, I haven't been doing much in game. Just, you know, my standard Oracle farming a couple evenings this week, and then tonight we did the raid. Boy, that's the most harrowing spine has been in a long time, though, I tell you. You know, since we nine-manned it, I don't know what the difference was.
Disc healer and nine-manning it.
Yeah, one less person to get that debuff to help spread it around. I don't know. It was pretty harrowing. Other than that, as soon as I got back from vacation, we're renovating our kitchen. So I sanded that Sunday afternoon as soon as I got home. That was lots of fun. I really should have hired someone to do that. The mudding and sanding, that's got to be the worst job there is for renovations.
Yeah, I'm not jealous.
Oh, man. Oh, I know. I just got the second coat of mud on tonight, so I'll be sanding again this weekend. Fun, fun, fun. Hoof It, how has yours been?
It's been a slow week for me. I'm still doing archaeology, and I did remember to tally up before the podcast, so I am at exactly 700 digs, right? Or solves? I'm sorry, not digs, solves.
Wow,
700 solves on one character. Keep in mind, I've got another character that does have the bug mount and stuff like that. And it was a long time ago that I realized, ah, crap, the Vial of the Sands recipe is not BOE. You can only see it if you've got an alchemist. So then I had my alchemist start it from level 1, and that character has now 700 solves. 120 of them are Tolvirs. I'm sorry, did I say 120? 121 are Tolvirs.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Of those, 12 of them are the jars, and none of them are Vial of the Sands patterns. And
did you get the hand yet?
No hand either. And I've only, I mean, outside of when I was leveling it up, I was only on Kalimdor the entire time, except when I was leveling up archaeology. And all on Kalimdor, I've got 19, of those 700, 19 solves are the rare solves. So that's at least 100 to 150 fragments for those suckers.
Jeez, man.
So I know as soon as I go to another continent, I'll get that professor title, but I don't want to until I get the damn hand or the vial.
That's just rough. Why do you hate yourself so much?
I don't know. But you know, a couple of add-ons make that super, super tolerable. I mean, it still sucks, don't get me wrong, but it just, it cuts the amount of digs you have to do pretty much in half. And
I'd say less than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll go ahead and mention them. So the two archaeology add-ons that I've been primarily using are Archaeology Helper, which puts up a little splash GUI on your screen that, you know, when you get a survey, it points in a direction and it gives you a color. And you basically just face that direction and you click a button on the Archaeology Helper GUI that corresponds to your color, and it puts a range on your screen relative to your position, an exact range of how far east, west, and, you know, your distance, length or how close or far you have to go. And so it gives you an exact range, and let's say you get to that range and you survey again, and it points in another area, so you click the other corresponding color, and anywhere where the two areas overlap, that's the only place you have to search within those two areas. And on top of that, so that's the Archaeology Helper add-on, and on top of that I'm using the GatherMate 2 and also the GatherMate 2 data. That's not an add-on, that's just the data file that you can download. And what it does is it basically just imports other people's recorded successful dig spots where they found fragments. And what this allows you to do is just when you survey a zone and you face the direction and you click the color and it puts a little splash screen on your screen. So not only now does it limit the area that you have to search so you know exactly where you need to go, at this point any dig spots that are known show up within that area. So let's say you get a yellow zone, right? And so you click the button, it puts a little yellow marker on your area, like this is the exact area you'll have to search in. And then the GatherMate 2 will put the little where the nodes actually spawn at. So basically you got a 50-50 shot, if there's two, to get it. So, you know, you just pick one, you go to it, you dig. Sometimes you'll get it on the first try, even, without even having the survey again after that. And if not, you know, you just go to the next one. But, I mean, yeah, it just saves so much time. So, I've been able to solve a lot that way. But, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
The biggest treat with that is because it shows you the dig sites, you can come to a fresh site and get lucky and land on a dig right away.
I've done that a few times.
The best thing ever. For archaeology, nothing gets better than that. When you're talking archaeology.
Yeah, you just come plunk down on one of those nodes and you just hit it on the first try. That's awesome. Yeah.
Right, because you still see the node spawns within the area before you even survey. So when you're flying to the area, you're like, I'll just pick a spot. You land on a spot where a node shows that it would be, and then you survey, except you uncover fragments on the without even having to survey. That is pretty awesome. That's happened a lot too. It really has happened quite a bit.
That's about as awesome as archaeology can get, right there, I think.
Yeah,
I think you're right. That's exactly.
In terms of archaeology.
Oh man! Outside of that, archaeology can suck it. Oh my gosh, it's so frustrating. we're at the end of Cataclysm, and I'm just now getting other items that like the trinket,
like
a caster trinket,
BOE cloth chest.
I mean, I understand that, you know, it's nice for low levels to get some stuff too, but man, I don't know, man. It seems like there's so many wasted things to get at this point. It's very frustrating.
They're supposed to be adding Valor as a reward for archaeology, I think, coming up, but I still don't know if that's going to be enough to entice me back into it.
Painful. I would rather grind out five mans with the bear tank and just maul my way through the darn place.
I'm there with you.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about professions, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard the term min-maxing before, but it may not be the most clear definition of what we're doing. We're not going to talk specifically on how to min-max every class, but we're going to tell you a little bit about professions, what their benefits are, and including, you know, money opportunities as well, but mostly why you should keep these professions up, especially with Mists right around the corner. There's still plenty of time to get these professions up, and here is why we're going to do it. On an earlier episode, we talked about, you know, reforging and enchanting your gear. All of these things add up to sometimes having the equivalent stats of one or two extra pieces of gear. Doing professions can kind of do the same thing. If you get professions up to a certain level, you'll start getting bonuses from that profession. And of course, the higher the profession level, the more bonuses you'll get. Well, not more bonuses, but they'll improve. Some of them have ranks. Some of them just unlock the next tier of bonus. Like, obviously, this late into the game, there's several expansions, and some of these, you know, the first bonus you get might be something that was, you know, really great at level 60 or 70, or even 80 in Wrath. But for now, we're going to pretty much talking about level 85 profession bonuses. And to keep in mind, these things are going to scale whenever Mist comes out. So even though we're mostly going to be talking about the Cataclysm stat gains that you'll get from these things, they will scale upwards and when Mist comes out. So you'll want to level it again so that you can get the Mist level equivalent of what we're going to be talking about. But for now, let's go ahead and start this out. Hend, you want to address your
sure.
professions? Go for it.
Yeah, I'm a jewel crafter and engineer. What jewel crafters get is prismatic gems. So there, you have to do dailies with jewel crafting. So once you do your dailies, you can you buy your patterns with those, and it has patterns for some epic gems that are bind on pickup only. So you cut them for yourself. You're the only one who can use them. The token you get from your daily will purchase one of these gems as well. But right now, they give a, what is it, plus 67 to your stat. So, for instance, the Delicate gem will give you plus 67 agility versus the Delicate Infernal Ruby, the blue quality, which is plus 40. So what you're getting is 27 extra stats per gem. You're allowed up to 3 equipped at any one time, so it gives you a total of 81 extra stats. I know for Miss, the only change, or the main change, is that instead of 3 gems, you're only going to be able to equip 2 in Miss. Yeah, well, it's the way they're...
Well, the scaling, I think I saw some of those, the new Mists, gem, you know, the professions patterns coming out, and they're pretty crazy, so...
Yeah, and it looks like as well the secondary stats are getting almost double the budget. So, item budget. So, because stamina gets 1.5, and it's starting, I think it's looking like the secondary stats are getting double the budget. But for engineering as well, one of the big benefits you get from that is synapse springs. And what those do is give you, right now, 480 of your main stats, so intellect, strength, or agility, for 10 seconds on a 1-minute cooldown. So if you average it out, you're getting approximately the same as plus 80 stats. So it, all of these are fairly equal, all the ones we're going to talk about here. The only thing with what engineering is nice is because you're getting it all front-loaded. And what I've done is I have made a macro for this tinker. It's a tinker for gloves is actually what it's for. So I have macroed this into a lot of my abilities. So every minute I'm getting this, I never miss it. It doesn't have a global cooldown. And if you're using gloves, if you want to put this into a macro, it's slash use 10. 10 is the item slot of your gloves, so it will use the anything you have on there that is an on-use ability. Other than these main tinkers for engineering, there's also just silly bonuses, I guess you could call them. Your belts, on your belt, you can put a nitro boost, which I'm sure everyone's seen it. Someone running very fast, but it also has a chance to fail. It can either launch you in the air, or it can put a dot on you that will kill you if you do not heal yourself. I know near the beginning of Cataclysm, I died I don't know how many times before I realized what was doing it.
Wait, did you see these were a neat little bonus, dying if you don't heal yourself?
Well,
if you die,
when they don't fail.
Magma, we were doing Blackwing Descent. Where'd Hen go?
Yep.
Oh, Hen's on the ceiling.
Yeah, there's also other belt ones, but most people use the Nitro Boost. I know for a while there was a protection shield that protected you. I think it was 15,000 health. But I never thought to use it during a battle, and I was always worried what would happen if it failed. If it failed, would I die and then the raid would wipe? So I never actually used it. In addition to that, you could put a tinker on your cloak, which will turn it into a parachute. I think that's on a 5-minute cooldown as well. So, you know, just neat little things to do. But the biggest thing for this and jewel crafting and engineering is getting the stats. You know, it's part of the min-maxing. Make sure you get to the most out of your character that you can, and keeping your professions up there is the best way to do it. What do you want to take the next one we have here?
Sure. Yeah, I'll do that. You don't have a blacksmith, do you? Do you, Rob?
Not a leveled up one, no.
Okay. I do, though, so I'll go ahead and cover this one. Real quick to note, the engineering tinkers, you can apply these to your gear, even if the gear already has a normal enchant on it. Correct?
Yes.
So you can still do a normal enchant and then apply this even on top of that. It doesn't interfere with it. So that's good.
Yeah, some of them add just a better enchant, but this is an additional one, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Engineering is, yes, for sure.
All right, so blacksmithing. Blacksmithing gets to add 2 additional gem slots, 1 to gloves and 1 to bracers or wrists. So if you're using the blue quality gems, you're going to get a total of plus 80 to whatever stat you want, or if you're using epic gems, plus 100, or if you're using stamina gems, it's, you know, 1.5 times that amount. And the other bonus that blacksmiths get, the belt buckles that you can make for other people. You know, I don't know if you don't know, and you don't have one, even if your belt already has gem slots in it, you can buy a belt buckle to add another one. And what blacksmiths get is they can make their own belt buckles for much, much cheaper than it is to make the sellable belt buckle that you can give to other people or sell to other people. Most of the professions have some kind of self-applying item that is relevant to what you're doing with them that is cheaper than the crafted version of the same thing. So yeah, you get to make gem slots and belt buckles with the blacksmith, but when you make your own belt buckle, it costs I really should have looked that up. It's like 2 or 4 of some item you buy off of the blacksmithing vendor. It's a flux or something. What is it? Dang it.
What it's called. Probably strong flux.
Strong flux. I believe that's what it is. Some kind of flux.
Yeah.
Capacitor.
Flux capacitor. Yep.
Yeah. enchanting. This is a fun one because, as you're leveling up, you get to all that useless quest item stuff that you can't use. You get to disenchant it and use it for your leveling up stuff. But the benefit that enchanters get is they can enchant plus 40 to a stat to each one of their rings. Again, this is a total of plus 80 of a main stat.
Isn't there some sort of cloak thread too that they can do? Or
No, that's for tailoring. We'll get to that one.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Leatherworking. This one's kind of deceiving. Leatherworking, they get to enchant plus 130 stats to their wrists for very cheap. In addition, well, okay, before I get into that. So this is unlike the engineers that get to apply their tinkers over other enchants, the leatherworking wrist enchant bonus does not stack with a normal wrist enchant from an enchanter. I can't remember what it's called. It's not embossing. That's tailoring. Whatever. It's the leatherworking only thing that you can do for your own wrists. So you might think, oh, 130, that's huge. Now, since it doesn't stack with the normal plus 50 to a stat that you can normally put on a wrist, well, that is plus 80 stats when you look at it. So, yeah, plus 80 is going to be a trend you'll notice for the rest of these darn things. But here's the other benefit to leatherworking. I'm sure you've seen leg armor kits. The leatherworkers, they make a stamina and agility, and then they have an attack power and
crit.
Yeah, attack power and crit for the other one. Again, these are things that you can craft and sell them on the auction house, and they're not the cheapest things to make, and they make pretty good money if you want. But if you want to make them for yourself, they're very, very cheap. They cost a very minimal amount of materials, so you can always be applying the epic level of the leg armor kits for very cheap to yourself. It's pretty, pretty cool.
Leatherworking does mail, too. It's not just leather.
Right, yeah. Well, blacksmithing also does mail.
Yeah, it starts to get a little funky at the higher levels. Leatherworking does cloaks and yeah.
And of course, if you're in a profession that creates gear like blacksmithing, leatherworking, or tailoring, these are kind of nice on the beginning of a fresh expansion, because if you can manage to get the materials, you can create the highest level epics at the beginning of an expansion. Not what's going to come out three content patches later, but the highest level for the current content of Epic. So sometimes those are pretty nice. Some of them are sellable, some of them are bind on pickup, but they can be pretty good. Rob, you want to take Inscription?
Yeah, actually, Inscription was one of the very first professions that I did level, and so I didn't realize how painful the Therizane grind would end up being down the road for my freaking 13 other guys that I was gonna take through there. But it kind of, like you already mentioned though too, with the stat enhancements that you get from each profession, this one is a the shoulder. You get shoulder enchants, and it's a plus 130 to whatever main stat you choose, which is then the regular level shoulder enchants are a plus 50, so it's only plus 80 more than you would normally get, because it doesn't stack. It overrides what you have and just gives you one enchant. You can make, for a while, Inscription was really nice when because you could make relics too, and I was making 346 relics, and those were going for a nice coin on the auction house. But you can I know Hoof, you might speak to this too. Inscription, if you pair up Inscription with Herbalism, you can actually, this is one of the few profession combos out there that I would say too, that you don't have to put a lot into it in order to max it out or to get a lot out of it. This really pays for itself, and you can actually make some really good money along the way too.
Yep, I can vouch for that. As late as the latest patch, the Dragon Soul patch, I leveled up my first Inscriptionist. Things were not in demand at all like they were in the beginning, and yeah. Inscription was still the most profitable profession. because even at the low levels, you know, the glyphs that you can make, people need those at max level. It sounds silly, but you know, I made so much money leveling Inscription. You know, it paid for itself while I was leveling it, and by the time I was done leveling it, I was, I don't know, 6,000-7,000 gold ahead because I was making all these things, leveling it up, and yeah, I mean, it was tough to sell things, and I definitely treasured my mailbox and auction house add-ons for listing a bunch of stuff or getting a bunch of stuff that didn't sell, but the glyphs are so cheap to list. It's painful if you don't have these.
Yeah.
You list a bunch and you know, you hope a couple of them sell, but they're cheap enough to list that it's really, I mean, you sell one glyph and you're good to list thousands of glyphs without even touching your wallet. So yeah, it was pretty nice.
I think the only other thing with Inscription is that it's not just the, like I said, the relics, the glyphs and the shoulder enchants. You can also make the scrolls, like the temporary buff scrolls. So those are kind of cool. I think, you know, when you go into a raid environment, you're using flasks and feasts and whatnot, and they don't, you know, those are going to be better, but they're nice for five mans and just out doing your thing, you know.
Yeah, well, that scroll of fortitude, for example, if there's no priest in your group, you can create these scrolls that give you the priest buff, and you can give these scrolls to anybody, any of your other alts or a friend,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, they're not bound, soul bound.
Yeah, so that's another benefit.
Yeah, and they make the fortune cards as well, do they not?
Yes, they do.
Yep.
As
yep.
well as
cards.
The Dark Moon cards too. So, you know, you get lucky on making one of those, and you can be very rich very quick.
Oh yeah, yeah, those are, I still see people in trade trying to sell those for a lot more than I would pay for them. So.
Yeah, well, the profitability I made off of Inscription was 100% leveling for glyphs. I didn't even, yeah. I mean, when people are getting relics and or they're, you know, they're getting the 397 relics or the 378s even from Valor or Justice points,
yeah.
Nobody's even remotely interested in the 346s. I never even bothered with it. I just, all of that,
yeah,
was
just skip it.
All Inscription, yeah. Or glyphs, yeah. So, tailoring. I have a tailor. Do you guys?
I do too, but it's your namesake, so I'll let you.
Oh, fine.
Rock now.
Nice.
There's no robalism around here, is there? Well,
if you're a rogue, you might be robbing
robber.
All right. So tailoring, they have a nice cloak enchant. This is very similar to the engineering. What was it, Tinker?
Yeah, the synapse springs.
Right. So tailoring has a cloak enchant. Unfortunately, it's not an on-use. It's just a proc. It is more than the engineering one, and it lasts for a couple more seconds, but it also has a slightly longer cooldown. Basically, figure a 1 minute per 10 seconds, and that's how long your cooldown is. So this one is a 15-second cloak enchant cooldown, and it has a 1.5-minute cooldown. And it is 580 intellect or spirit, or 1,000 attack power. And yeah, these are random procs, so they'll just happen during combat, and you'll get temporary boosts. So it's not as good as the on-use to be able to plan your damage, but it's still a pretty nice boost to have. Tailors also can make leg kits. The leather workers made pretty much tanking or DPS type leg armor kits.
The melee
stuff.
Yeah.
The tailoring does caster spell threats. So they've got intellect and stamina, or spirit and
intellect.
Yeah.
So yeah, tailors can craft those and sell those, or for, oh man, it's ridiculous. It's like three of the vendor threads to make your own epic level leg kit. Again, I mean, all of the ones that you can make for yourself that are, you know, you can only apply them to yourself, they're so cheap. So that's pretty cool on my mage. You know, I'm cruising around and I'm not even max level when Kata first came out, and you're just applying the epic quality leg enchants to yourself for 10 gold. It's pretty nice. Or however much this thing. Oh yeah, I think it's like 3 gold per thread, so it's like 9 gold or something. So, and let's see, what else do they get? Oh, that's what they get. They get the cloak proc and the cheap leg thing.
Is it just blood elves, or is it tailors that get an increased chance of finding cloth?
That's blood elves. That's tailors. They get that as well.
Okay. Well, it's only, as far as I know, that is only applicable in Northrend. I don't think that is.
Oh, really?
I think that was a skill that you learned in Northrend, and
I don't thought think it was just tailoring in general.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Nah, if I remember the when you look at your professions window and you've got tailoring, and then it's got a little box that says like cold weather cloth or something, and and it increases your chance to find cloth in Northrend. I'm almost 100% positive that is specific to Northrend only.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I don't have a tailor, so I'll believe you this time.
So who's got an alchemist? I do.
I do, and you do.
Oh, I do, actually, for it too. Yes.
Oh, you do too?
Yeah, I do. Mend.
Everyone's got to have an alchemist, man. Alchemists are great. Yeah.
Well, Rob suffers from an extreme case of alcoholism. So maybe we'll let Rob take this one.
That works.
This one, this one's really nice because you get basically double the flask duration, and there's also you can make a flask that doesn't ever leave your bag. It just kind of sits in there permanently, like a little icon in your bag, and you can use that whenever you want. And just like a lot of these other professions, it gives you plus 80 to stats for whatever spec you're in, so it kind of matches whatever you're doing. And it lasts 2 hours, and you can use it as much as you want, and it never goes away. You always have it, so that's really
never
nice.
Consumed.
You guys might need to help me with this one a little bit, but there's 3 different specializations for alchemy.
Elixirs, transmutes, and potions, is it, I think?
That sounds about right. There's a quest you get, I think, in once you get to Outlands area-ish, where you decide what you want to specialize in, and then you would go and... It's not too long, I guess, now. I guess back in the day it was a lot harder, but now, I believe I chose elixirs, and I had to go to the Black Morass and run that like 2 or 3 times to farm a bunch of drops out of there and take them back to this guy over in Theramore or somewhere around there, and lets you choose what you want to specialize in, and that. For the elixirs, when you can get procs on your flasks. So if you're making flasks, you know, sometimes you'll get random procs, and you'll get more than one flask out of that. You know, sometimes you'll get 2 or 3.
They've updated the quest lines to choose these. It's kind of a funny story, but not really, because on my priest, my alchemist, I took the quest. And when I took the quest, you needed 4 primal mites. Now, primal mites were going for 400 gold on the auction hall, said, no way. You know, I'm not spending 600 gold on this. I'll take my time. I don't need it right away. I'll take my time, farm it up myself. So, I don't know, 6 months later, I farmed it up myself. I think I asked Taz. I was short a couple heirs, something like that. So he lent me whatever I needed to finish up. Like 6 months later, so I got my 4 primal mites, and I can't find the quest guy anymore. I can't find him. I can't turn my quest in.
Awesome.
So I did a little reading. In one of the patches, it might have been 4.2. I don't remember which one. Maybe even 4.3. There's a quest giver in Urgamar now, and it's for true gold. instead. Oh, yes. True story. So I'm sitting here on four Primal Mites that I can't do anything with because it's no longer the quest.
And they probably don't sell for 400 anymore.
You know what? I think they... I sold at least two of them for a good... But, Matt, I couldn't believe it. I spent 6 months getting these stupid Primal Mites to find out that they had changed it on me. So anyway, I'm sure the other two are updated as well, the elixirs and potions. But yeah, I couldn't believe that. Four true gold. Ugh. And I have worked all that 6 months to get four primal mites. Oh, yes, I know.
So anyway, you probably played every day for 6 months too, didn't you?
Not on my priest, though. I'd take some time. I'd go farm in. What was it?
Not on any time.
I have a feeling you might have took a 3-day-month vacation in the summer.
Oh, yeah, I probably did. That might have done it, too.
Came back. But anyway,
I spent a long time farming the wrong item. So anyway, you had mentioned mixology. It not only does it give you 2x the duration of flasks and elixirs, but since you can't stack that endless potion with flasks, what mixology does is it gives you higher value for your flask. So most everyone will get plus 300 for a flask, like plus 300 intellect, for example. And alchemists will plus 380. So they get their same plus 80 stats that all the other crafting professions do.
Gotcha. So the endless potion is more for like soloing, or maybe if you're doing five mans or something. And
yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then when they use a flask, since it doesn't stack, they just get the 80 on top of the flask from the mixology bonus.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
I actually learned that when I was researching for this episode. I did not know that.
You're not supposed to tell people that. We're supposed to have known this for years.
We knew this all along. Yeah, yes. Years and years.
Now.
All right. Gathering.
Busted.
Gathering. Oh, man. So skinning. Ah, Hoofit used to be a skinner. Mm. And
Leonard?
The gathering professions can be quite advantageous for several reasons. They can make you a crap ton of money. And most of the time, that's kind of where it ends. But it does actually give you bonuses. So skinning, for example, gives you a bonus called Master of Anatomy. At level 85, this gives you 80 crit rating, which translates to less than 0.5% of crit. It's like 0.446 something. So round it up, it gives you 0.45% chance to crit. Woo! But yeah, skins sell still for a really good chunk of money. And at this gear level, it is very, very quick to kill things. Master looting would be super, super awesome right about now. Just so you could loot everything and then skin it all. Of course...
Oh, that AoE looting?
Yeah. I guess maybe... I don't know. Maybe I'd take that back. I actually might take that back. Okay, so... Listeners, don't be jerks. But once you loot something, someone else can actually skin it. So I've had people do this to me before. Let's say I killed three mobs, and I looted them all at once, and then I started skinning the first one, then started skinning the second one, and while I'm skinning the second one, some guy comes up and skins the third one that I killed. And,
lovely.
So maybe AoE looting might be kind of bad for skinners. Wow.
Yeah, you might be right. That,
I mean,
we'll see.
Man, you went
the reverse situation is sometimes when I'm out looking for something in particular, you know, I'll kill 10, 12, 20 different things and not even loot them because I don't care. I'm just trying to get the kills real quick, you know.
Well, that doesn't matter, but you'll have skinners that well, I know, but you'll have skinners like they'll be hanging around areas, for example, in Hyjal, at least before the zone phasing changes it, there's an area that has a ton of dragonkin in it, and there's so many people going in there, and they're going in there and killing these things, and they loot them, and there'll be people just kind of hovering above, just waiting for people to kill stuff and take off, then they'll swoop down and skin everything while other people are doing all the work for them. And I think this is one of those areas where I rounded up a few and killed them all, looted them all. I've learned my lesson, and now I only loot one, skin it, then I loot the next one and skin it so that they can't swipe it from me. But with the AoE looting, I don't know if you'll be able to turn that off or how that'll work.
But for that.
But yeah, man, if you round up 5-10 mobs and AoE loot them, there's going to be some really pissed off skinners out there when other skinners are going to be swiping their junk.
Yeah, went in with the cross-realm zones coming up, but you couldn't even really punk them on your own server, you know?
And I... punk them.
Sometimes you can mess with people. Not that I've ever done that, but, you know.
This is funny. I know we're spending way too much time on this, but... yeah, I had just thought of this as we were going through it right now, so it's kind of funny. So what's the next one? We've got herbalism. This grants lifeblood. And what this is, it's an on-use ability. It doesn't have a global cooldown, so you can macro it into anything you want and just kind of bust it right in there. What it does is it gives you 480 haste rating. And I can't remember if it's for 10 or 15 seconds. But anyway, it gives you a small haste rating buff, and it also gives you a heal. It's a pretty small heal. Every time I've used it, it's around 2,000, give or take. But yeah, it's very easy to macro it into something and just put it in if you want. And it makes pretty flowers around you whenever you use it.
That's the only reason I use it.
Just for the flowers?
Yep.
You know, if you're Horde, and you're a Tauren, and you're a Druid, you need to get herbalism.
You do.
Seriously.
This is definitely not min-maxing if you get herbalism, but I swear, this is the biggest cheat in the game.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. I loot stuff so fast that sometimes it's like the game is slower than I'm looting, and I'm waiting for the loot box to pop up, even though my cast bar finished looting.
Yeah, I can't believe this is still in here the way it is. It seems like way too OP for farming herbs.
The Horde are winning because they've got so many more potions than anybody else.
I'll go make that loop around the stinking zone down there in Oldham and get those whiptails down there, and you'll see other people farming, and I'm just like, oh, stay in flight form, cruise down there, you know, you don't even have to pop out of form, you just hit the button, go flying off, and this dude over here is still trying to mount up, and I'm like cruising off. I got three more nodes, and he's all hanging out there still.
Yeah.
Yeah, with being a Tauren, you got the racial too, that you pick him faster. So
That's the whole cheating point. Yeah, that's why if you're a Tauren and you're a Druid, herbalism is a cheat because it doesn't take you out of flight form, so you never have to mount back up, and you loot at like one half of a second. It might be 1 second, but oh man, it's so fast. I have flown down, began looting, got the loot, and started to fly away, and just as I was flying away, I don't know if it's from lag or what, but I saw somebody just appear that they're already standing there on their feet, and I'm thinking to myself, oh man, I didn't see him there,
dude,
when I went there.
You're right. I don't know what happened. I just got it so fast.
I'm serious. I mean, you know how, I mean, you ever like flown into somewhere and you land and then all of a sudden all the mobs suddenly appear because it like took a second for things to load?
Yeah.
I mean, same thing with players, and it might even take longer with players because it's not the server, it's their connection going to the server going to you. So yeah. It might even take a little bit longer for players. But yeah, I mean, I felt bad a little bit when right. I saw a Horde player, but I never, ever felt bad when I've sniped him from Alliance players. So.
Oh, definitely not. He had it coming.
I'm like, hey, you should have been a Horde. Sorry. Nice. Oh, funny. Anyway, the last gathering one is mining, and this grants toughness. At level 85, you get 120 stamina, and that's it. There you go.
Yeah, that's literally there it. Yeah, and you can hit rocks with a stick.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so technically there's other gathering professions like fishing and stuff. They don't really grant you buffs, but you can make food with them, and cooking will give you more buffs.
The only, what's good about having cooking leveled up too is the raid feasts, which is I don't want to call it a pattern, a recipe that you can learn from your guild vendor that you can get put down the...
After your guild fished up 10,000 fish from pools.
Hey, man, those derbies. So, we were doing those derbies for a while, right?
Yeah. They're both tied together, though. That's the thing. They're both tied together here.
You need the guild, and the guild needs you.
Yes.
Fish. Oh. Yes.
Yeah,
10,000 fish was painful.
But the raid feasts are nice because it's 90, 92 stamina and 90 to your main stats, so...
Yeah, there you go. There you have it. So let's kind of... I'll just summarize these professions. So you've got two professions that are kind of proc-based, and that's tailoring and engineering, where they have more than just the normal plus 80 stat. So the engineering has the on-use, the tailoring has the proc, but they're huge bonuses, though in the end they average at about plus 80. Then you've got the other professions, and give or take a couple of points, they're all going to give you about plus 80 of a stat bonus. And those professions are jewel crafting, blacksmithing, enchanting, leatherworking, inscription, and alchemy. And then you've got the gathering professions, and those just kind of give you... money.
Here,
now,
gather
if
money.
if you're really min-maxing your character, what you'll do is you'll have an alt that does all your gathering for you, and you send it to your main, and when your main has two of the other professions that either give you the solid plus 80 of a stat, or even the tailoring and engineering, that's kind of a weird combination unless you're a caster. You can really, I mean, it's basically like an extra trinket if you combine two of the other professions that give you the plus 80 bonuses. Most people will take, you know, if they're a leather worker, you know, they get the plus 80 from the wrist enchants, but most leather workers are also skinners. So if you were really going to be min-maxing, you would, you know, have an alt do the skinning for you, and your leather worker would have leather working and one of the other professions, like blacksmithing for the extra gem sockets, or jewel crafting for the plus 67 gems.
Hand is a jewel crafter and engineer. They both take mining. You know, since they added in experience for the gathering professions and cataclysm, my rogue, who was level 75, is now level 81, just feeding Hend ore so that he could level his professions. You know, I leveled up 6 levels on my rogue just from farming.
Nice.
You know, and yeah.
So six levels on a rogue equals max engineering and jewel crafting for Hend?
I don't even think it was the full 6 levels. I think I did a lot more for cash afterwards as well, but...
Oh.
But
yeah.
I'm sure I'll do the same. I just need to get my rogue to 85 here before Cataclysm hit, Miss hits. But that's going to be a chore in itself because I hate my rogue. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, I've got the same thing here, though, that you're mentioning with Hen, because, yeah, I have I have two crafting professions on him and no gathering. So, but I have plenty of vaults with gathering, so that's not a problem for me.
If you're the kind of person that doesn't play a lot of alts, you kind of have a main and that's it. There are natural combinations of these professions. So there's usually a gathering profession that works very fluidly with one of the other ones. And it's generally herbalism works well with alchemy and inscription. Skinning works well with leather working. Tailoring and enchanting work well together, and then mining and blacksmithing and jewel crafting and engineering. Yeah, they kind of go hand in hand. So when I was leveling my priest is a tailor enchanter, and those just kind of go hand in hand. You make a bunch of stuff and then you can disenchant it, and then you end up feeding yourself the mats to kind of push past some of those little difficult points too.
Yeah. I just want to reiterate here, these stat bonuses that we're talking about now, these we're giving you the current Cataclysm bonuses. Obviously when Mists of Pandaria comes out, these professions will have higher levels of these exact same versions. And you'll need to max out these professions or at least get close. I'm pretty sure most of them start giving you these bonuses like a little bit before max level. Like maybe 5 to 10 points before you hit max level even. But yeah, they're going to be a lot higher because it's going to scale, because when the expansion comes out, all the gear's also going to have much higher stats and everything. There is a nice summary online. There was a post by Ariel who on Twitter is at Riftmaker. He had a post on theinkbear.com. Now, take this with a grain of salt, because this post highly discuss it's all about Guardian bear tanking. So everything on here is related to bear tanking, but the raw data concerning the numbers of what the professions will give you are all accurate for Mists of Pandaria. So ignore the suggestions if you're not planning on being a guardian tank, but you can look at this post, the summary of all the professions and the bonuses that they give, and you'll get the all of the Cataclysm stats for each one of those as well. So thank you, Ariel, for that post. That was very helpful.
And it was being very a guardian timely tank, too.
That was
too,
weird.
Since it came out today.
Yeah.
Wow,
we've been adding notes all week long. Yeah, we've been adding notes all week long, kind of putting stuff here and there, and bam, this post came up today, and I'm like, hey, do you mind if I mention this on the show? And he said, yeah, go ahead and do it. So
yeah, that worked out well.
If you're looking to level a profession and you're just kind of lost, or you haven't even started yet, and it just looks like it's going to be too much of a pain, there are guides online that you can use. There's a lot of guides out there, and most of them pretty much give you the exact same information. The site might look a little different between them all. It might be presented to you in a different way. But in the end, most of these profession leveling guide sites are going to... they're going to suggest to you basically the fastest path to leveling. And generally what that means, it may not always mean the cheapest route to max the profession, but it'll usually mean the most efficient route. So it'll try to do its best with all of the vendor recipes that you can get. If there is, or not vendor recipes, the trainer recipes. If there's a really cheap way to skill up and it's from a vendor, it'll say, you know, most of them will say, you know, use this pattern, and this pattern you can buy it from this vendor. And if you're not even sure where that vendor is, you can just look up the vendor's name and online, and you'll be able to see if it's in wherever it's at. It'll tell you exactly how many things you need to craft to get exactly this many skill points. It will show you the exact amount of materials you'll need to craft those items. These kind of things can be very handy for preparing for leveling. So you're not getting... You know, if you're buying stuff off the auction house, you know exactly how much to buy. Or if you're out farming for materials, you know exactly how much to farm. You don't have to get more than what you need or just get half of it and then find out you need more. Look for any professional leveling guide online. Personally, the one I've used, I know Rob's used a different one, and we've compared them, and we've discovered that, yeah, they're really, it's the same information, it just looks different. But the one that I'm using, or when I'm using them to level profession, is thenoobschool.com, and that's thenoobschool, thenoobschool.com. And you basically just click on what you want, and it covers gathering professions too. So if you're gathering, it'll say, you know, it'll give you routes of where to find and farm for herbs or ore, and then it'll say, you know, gather up to this level, and then the next area, this is the next area to go that has the herbs or the ore that will skill you up past this, and then you can just move on and just kind of follow their plan. You're probably gonna find a lot of these sites have ads on them, so just be wary for those things. I run ad block, so I most of the time I don't see those things, but yeah, just be wary. Sometimes you'll see, hey, buy my book for gold.
Yeah, these are all third party sites. They're not actual Blizzard sites, so careful what you click.
Yeah. They might be legit. I know that there are a couple of legitimate publishers out there selling gold guides. But yeah, if you don't know the source, I would still be cautious. Alright, let's hit some shoutouts.
Shoutouts.
We need a
bumper there, man.
Maybe we do need a bumper.
We do.
We need a couple more. We'll get it.
Any listeners out there want to make a fun bumper for shoutouts? Let us know.
But we want to call it Sending Hen Love. Let's get it right.
Do we? Do we really want to call it that?
I do. I really do. Yes. If you're asking me, yes. Yes, I really
okay.
do.
Okay. Listeners, if you would like a Sending Hen Love shout out bumper, send it to the show at thetrainingdummies.com, and we'll see about it. I have the option to veto. I can veto.
Danny
just
DeVito.
You edit.
All right. Well, since Hen's the one giving out the hen love, go ahead and shout us some stuff out.
All right. First off, big hen love to the Hoarderlies, our guild on the Deathwing server. I've noticed the last couple we've actually missed, and I feel really bad about that. So from now on, we'll make sure we give lots of head love to the Horde release, best guild there is on the entire game, as far as I'm concerned.
And I'm sure you've disappointed all three people in the guild that listen to the show.
Yeah, that's right. And that's Hint, Hot Pox, and Hoof It.
Exactly. Oops. No, I make my wife listen as well sometimes when I'm listening.
Yeah. Honey, did you hear that? I gave some really good advice there, babe. You listening?
Also on Hearthcast again, a lot of head love for those guys. They continue to talk us up probably more than they should be. I'm starting to get worried that we're not going to be able to live up to this if they keep going the way they are. It's very much appreciated, though. What is he calling us now? Triple H.
Triple H.
Yes. The living encyclopedias
that
or something.
Sounded like Root. Holy. But yes, thanks again, guys. It's still very much appreciated. As well, we've been doing up a little clip. Darkmoon Herald, Torrent Think Tank, Convert to Raid, and Hearthcast have been playing that clip for us lately, so thanks again, guys.
Yeah, a little drop-in. Did the instance player clip?
They did, but I didn't send them the last one. I was on vacation, so... Ah. They didn't play the last one.
But wait, I thought you had internet at your campsite.
Well, I did. My phone. I had my iPhone with me, so I could have. I just never forwarded the email.
No excuses.
Yes, well. That's all I've got for shout-outs this week. You guys have any others?
We got a couple from Twitter. We had some pretty good interaction with some people this week. We had Knig510, Oa Girl Dragon, Raven Spider, Wow Martine, Ledicious Warrior, Oathblade, Gregory W.J. Kelly. We had a lot of people sending us some really good tips. Spider Cav. Yanksy again. So it's good to have that interaction. I'm a bit of a Twitter fiend, so I appreciate you guys getting involved and spreading the love there too. The hint.
No, I try to keep up with Rob on Twitter, but Rob is he's the Twitter king.
Difficult.
Dude, there's just a few people that I look and I pale in comparison to them, so it's like I just try and do right by the people.
Alright, well, let's move on to 5-star reviews here. Alright, let's move on to
we need your reviews.
We have gotten some really good reviews in the past. We don't have any this week.
We have.
But we have gotten some very legit reviews, and we thank you all for your 5-star reviews. Thank you.
I guess that about does it for episode 8 of The Training Dummies. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies. You can follow us on Twitter at Training Dummies. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can send your questions or MP3s to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. Also, be sure to check out our website at thetrainingdummies.com. If you'd like to contact any of us or the show, our information is there. You can also leave comments on all of the episodes. Thank you, and good night.
Good night, guys.
All right.
Night, Ned.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!